Hi, this is Chaz Palminteri, and if you're thinking about getting your eyes done, the only person to see is Dr. Rothman of LASIK of Nevada. I flew all the way from New York to be here, and Dr. Rothman did my eyes. And all I could say is, it's a miracle. I could see. You see Dr. Rothman of LASIK of Nevada.
Living in Las Vegas starts now. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome from Las Vegas, Nevada, that groovy little podcast that gives you a true first-person look into what it's like to call Sin City your home, the Living in Las Vegas podcast. And now your host, a man who clearly needs some kind of introduction, otherwise you wouldn't know who he was. Mr. Scott Whitney.
Hey, everybody. Oh, that was kind of fun, Jacob. A little slashy thing. Hey, everybody, welcome to the Living in Las Vegas podcast. I am, in fact, your humble host. It's great to have you here. This is kind of, what would you call it? Living in Las Vegas after dark. It's kind of mellow.
Intimate.
I like it when we're intimate. I like when we spoon. You're a good spooner.
Have I ever Are you talking to me or Jacob?
You.
Oh, me.
You know what Jacob did today? Was this today, Jacob, when you sexually abused me? I think it was.
What'd you do?
You placed his bottom on me. He literally came. I was working, and he's. You can't stop him. He's 6'4". You're not gonna stop. If he says I'm gonna place my bottom upon you, you're gonna say, "Well, okay, place your bottom on me. What are you gonna do?"
And so he did.
Was it today, right?
Like Jackie said, it's only sexual harassment if you complain.
Hey, can I just say about that? You know how sometimes we talk about we'd like to have a camera at home just to see what our dogs are doing out throughout the day?
Yes.
I think it'd be interesting just to have the camera rolling, just to see what you and Jacob are up to throughout the day.
That would be pay-per-view.
Pay-per-view. Are you mic'd up?
Yes, I am.
Outstanding. One of the cool things to watch here is right before a show, what we'll often do is do a live camera in here so you can see what's going on as we're preparing for a show.
Yeah.
It's pretty neat. You might want to start and stop, Jacob. So anyways, welcome to the Living in Las Vegas podcast. I am your humble host, Scott Whitney. It's great to have you here at Living in Las Vegas After Dark. And I'm joined by my naughty jelly sweet, the one, the only, the best spooner. Both sides, by the way. We spoon, we're equal opportunity spooners, wouldn't you argue?
Yes.
Sometimes you spoon me, and sometimes I spoon you.
Which is weird. I kind of feel like when I spoon you, I kind of feel a little bit like a monkey.
A monkey? Well, I don't even know why that is.
Like,
it's like I'm like a hairy back or anything.
Like I'm a monkey on your back. Like, you know, like you see the little monkeys on... You know, because you're a lot taller than me. So I feel like I'm the little monkey hanging on. You're like,
is that weird? You make that little squeaky noise, too.
I'm like,
anyways, my little monkey and Naughty Joey Sweet, this is Melissa Whitney, everybody. Begin. There we go. I can't hear if there's an applause or not. Is there applause?
I think there is a lot of applause. Thunderous applause.
But I don't hear it now. I bet you'll be able to hear it next time.
Okay.
Anyways, a couple ways to reach out to
us. Can I just get a little anyways?
But applause? We'll try it again. This is for Melissa. She always has applause. Come on, baby. There it is.
Okay.
There she is.
Now I'm happy.
That's
good.
Reach out to us several ways. You can do it via email at onairq@livinginlv.com. Again, that's onairq@livinginlv.com. You can do our toll-free number, 866-966-459. Of course, we have live chat going on if you're able to watch us live. And if you'd like to be adopted, right now we've got Stu up there, Stuart. Probably doesn't like to be called Stu. He's been up there for quite some time now. If you want to be adopted, you're going to send an email to friends@livinginlv.com. And
we need more kids.
We need more kids because welfare pays us more.
We have room in our heart.
We have big, giant heart. just like the Grinch. And also, of course, if you are on the Twitter, you go to Vegas Video NTWRK. That's Vegas Video NTWRK, and follow us there. We've got over 3,000 followers.
Oh, that's cool.
Right,
on Twitter.
On the Twitter. Also, if you don't catch us live, don't worry, my little princess. I got that from Gooch. Yeah, God bless his little heart. You can check us out on VegasVideoNetwork.com, iTunes, Roku, YouTube, and every Friday night. Friday Night Features on KSHP AM 1400 from 8 o'clock till midnight. So you're cruising around. Maybe you're going to the club, or you're going from the club, or you're going down to the strip. You're listening to the dulcet tones of Melissa and Scott chatting you up.
Or lots of other people.
Or a bunch of other people as well. A couple programming notes. We are not going to be doing the show. Wait a minute. I think I misspoke. We're not going to be doing the show next week, because I'm going to be out of town on business that day. However, good news, kids. I heard from a reliable source, we'll call her Melissa, who tells me, based upon a meeting she's had with a couple people, well, I'll say who they are, our number one and number two researchers, we'll call them number one and number one, because they're both equally as good, Sally and Cheryl, longtime friends of the Living in Las Vegas
yes.
podcast,
yes.
And close friends of ours. You were having a girls' evening out.
Girls' evening, cocktails and appetizers.
And they told you that they'd be willing to.
They sounded like. Now, have you confirmed that they want to? Have you reached out to them?
Nah.
Jacob, have you heard about this?
No.
What did he say?
He said negative ghostwriting.
Oh, negative. I'm like, what? Okay, seriously, I personally think they should do it.
And so we welcome the opportunity. And as a matter of fact, I plan to log in tomorrow or next week from my business location to watch Cheryl and Sally host the Living in Las Vegas podcast here live on the Vegas Video
you know,
Network.
I don't think they...
What? Is that applause? Why, yes, it is.
I don't think they thought you would really let them.
Absolutely. Please come. If you want to do it every week, it's yours.
I think, you know, we better call them. Are you serious?
Absolutely. Well, I know somebody who's married to one of them.
I think it would be a riot if they did it.
I think they should do it. So
you know what? They could be like Kathy and Hoda.
So we have to bring wine.
What?
Nothing wrong with that. We've got plenty.
Don't we already have wine?
Plenty of wine, plenty of booze.
They could be like Kathy and Hoda, you know, after the Today Show.
Cheryl had something on Facebook about this combination of Guinness and champagne.
Yeah, what the heck is that about?
That sound terrible.
Doesn't that sound nasty?
A black velvet. Have you
had one?
Have you had it? It sounds
Where'd
hideous.
Where'd you have one?
Is it good? No, I hate Guinness.
I know. If you wanted to eat tar, you'd... You know.
Right, drink Guinness. So anyways, look forward to Sally and Cheryl, our two best researchers, being here next week.
What if they weren't serious?
Well, they're going to be serious now.
I wish they were in chat. That'd be hilarious.
I would like for them to do it. I think it'd be great. They should do it.
I know. It'd be funny.
On a serious note, you'll notice on, if you go to camera one, you'll notice I have the laptop up here monitoring the live chat. The reason is Wayne is not here today. Our condolences go out to Wayne. He let us know that his father passed away today, so he can't be here naturally for that. For all of us at the Vegas Video Network, from Melissa and myself, we send our condolences out to Wayne. I think that's all that really needs to be said about that. He's a great guy, and we're really sorry to hear about that. So, Wayne, you know, we're thinking about you. We feel you, brother, and we look forward
we'll
to
see you soon.
Seeing you soon, for sure. Speaking of Wayne, we are, of course, in the weight loss.
Now, did you do a weigh-in?
I did.
You
this
did?
This is what's weird about
you
this.
You did or did not?
I did.
Did he?
Well, he's not here, honey. I just,
well, then how?
Well, I can't compete against him because he's not here today.
But
I just checked my weight. Now, according to Luz at the application that I've introduced to several folks, and Dave and Alicia introduced us,
yeah,
I was down as far as 7.6 pounds in about 2 weeks.
Now,
very,
is that
very good.
In the morning?
Yes.
Which is different when you weigh yourself here with your clothes on.
That's right. And so I have a ritual.
Yes. But when you weigh yourself with Wayne, don't you do it here in the office?
I do.
With your clothing.
Yeah, yeah. So it's going to be different. But you know, my ritual is I get up in the morning. I have my morning constitution while reading Yahoo News while on the toilet. Yes, I do.
Oh, did you hear Jerry Yang quit Yahoo?
Oh, did he quit?
Has nothing to do with Yahoo. He's not even on the board anymore.
Really?
Well, I heard today.
A lot of people have been writing that he should have done that a long time ago.
That's interesting. Anyway, sorry.
But I read Yahoo News because it's actually well-formatted on my iPod
Touch.
And after I take care of my business, because that's when I'm at my lowest weight, I need an advantage. I weigh myself. Down as far as 7.6 pounds, it's pretty good. Now, one day I gained 1.6 pounds because of a trip to Maggiano's, I'm blaming.
Today? And, are you talking about
that was a couple days ago.
Oh.
Didn't weigh myself today. I think weighing myself every day is problematic. So
yeah.
I'm not good anymore. But I weighed myself here week to week, and I'm down 1.8 pounds week to week. So
with your clothes on last week,
with your clothes on here.
Right.
So
that's
1.8,
awesome.
Not bad. My goal, by the way, is 2 pounds a week. That's my goal.
Well, that's what they say is healthy.
Right. So,
but don't you think that's awesome?
I feel that's good. Wayne did threaten me and suggested that he's already beating me badly and that his Wii Fit weighed him and he's down a bunch of pounds. And he suggested I have some Parmesan garlic wings. And he's
What's he down?
I think he did tell me. And he's an aggressive young man. And I wish not to speak about that anymore. So
you're not going to tell me how much weight he says?
Don't really remember.
Are you serious?
Yes.
Okay, so we'll talk later?
No. I'm tired of crying out loud. Tired of it. I don't need it anymore.
Well, maybe Wayne has a slight advantage because of age.
Yes, he's young.
Yeah, and, you know, I know with women, a young woman's metabolism is much different than somebody in their, 40s or 50s.
Right, so he does have the advantage of youth, and I'm still going to beat him. That's my goal. Also, fun stuff. We had this is a shout out to my uncle Jim and Aunt Judy. They've been here in town visiting with my mom.
Crazy kids.
Miss Nancy is, as Jacob and Sally refer to her.
Yeah.
And had the pleasure of bringing them in here. Actually, should have taken a couple shots of this. So we put them on the Vegas Sports Day set. And we took a couple snapshots of them on the set. They just thought it was really fun. It's fun to have folks come by and take a look at what you're up to. And so it was fun to see Jim and Judy. They're going to be going to what restaurant they're going to be going to? One of our famous Joe's
Stone Crab
thingamabob over at the Forum. So
we played some mean game of Mexican Train.
Full contact Mexican Train.
And I won.
You always win, and I'm really disappointed with that pretty much all the time.
I am the master.
So let's talk about what we've been doing over. We're going to do a couple things. We're going to focus a little bit of this show on the real estate world, and we're going to get to that in a moment. But I want to talk a little bit about a place we stopped by this weekend, a place called, it's pretty popular around here. It's called Marche Vacas. I'm sure I'm pronouncing that incorrectly, but you look at that word and
that
you pronounce
good.
It right.
I thought right? That, I think that sounded pretty good.
Yeah, and this is a place.
We went there eons ago. Oh.
Yeah, and that's why we went there. We had gone back there, or we visited there when we first moved here back in 2005. We had got wind of this place, that it was a really cool local place. And so, and actually, let me show you where it's located, because it's kind of an interesting place. So, here on Google Maps, you'll see over here is the 95, over here is Cheyenne, and they've got this area called Desert Shore right here. If I turn on the satellite picture, see these three fingers of water? That's Desert Shore. And if I zoom in a little bit, you'll see that Marche Vacas is right there on the middle. Well, there it is right there, as a matter of fact, right? So, like I said, we've been there before. And the reason why we went there is we saw that they were doing, and they continue to do, free wine tasting on Saturdays.
But I didn't know they did that. Did you?
I didn't know that. We were looking at stuff to do kind of away from the strip this weekend.
Yeah, I was a little worn out. I had traveled last week and had a funeral to go to, and I was kind of wiped out. I wanted something low key. I wanted to get out of the house. I wanted to go and catch up with you and do something fun with you, but I wanted something, kind of low-key, and you mentioned, hey, this place is doing wine tasting.
Right.
During the day, it sounded awesome.
Right, and it's a really well-respected place, right? It's mm-hmm. in the 50th
Hooties
Central Restaurant that, Al's book, mm-hmm. that, and as a matter of fact, they have it, they're promoting that they're on that book in
that's Al
on their website,
book
Al Mancini from
Top of the
Food Chain. Right, very good. Look at you.
Oh, there it is.
That's why you are VP of Fantasy and All Things Something.
That's right.
Whatever.
Did you see he had the book up there?
Yes, I did see that. Well done, Jacob.
Jacob is kicking butt.
He's very good over there.
Yeah.
So we went over there to check it out. It's run by a guy named Jeff and his wife, Rhonda Wyatt. And we've had him actually on Top of the Food Chain as well. Nice guy.
Big, super nice guy.
Real wine aficionado, knows a lot about it. So we went over to check it out. And do you have that list? You do. So
yeah.
It's a typical wine tasting kind of thing. They pick 4 or 5 or 6 bottles of wine, and they like it tastes.
And all kinds of different kinds.
So we went in there, yeah. And there was about 8 or so people when we got there. We got there about noon or so, give or take. And it was interesting. You know, a couple of things that were a little disappointing, I'll be honest, was that the very first wine they had on there, they didn't have anymore, which I, you know. From my perspective, now I'm comparing this to wineries like at Napa, or we've gone to the Pahrump Winery, which of course does wine tasting in their place, and you just don't find people running out of wine as a practice.
I wonder if they, you know, when they do these programs, they say we're only going to serve so many bottles, because obviously, you know, they're not selling it. It was free wine tasting, so they're not making a profit. So if they go through as many as at a winery,
well,
that would really hit into their profits.
Yeah.
And a lot of these bottles were more, even, I mean, really high-end wine.
Right.
You wouldn't find, like, you know, some wine places will have maybe 1 or 2
right.
at this price range. But these were all, you know,
yeah.
on the more expensive
then
side.
Then don't pick them. Because if yeah. you're going to have a wine tasting, you should have the wines to taste.
I agree. It was disappointing to come and.
And it was interesting because the very first wine was a Chardonnay, which we didn't have a chance to taste because they're all out of it. And we saw somebody buy a bottle after we got there. So we have no idea if that was a great wine or not. Let's say it is. So they. Now, one of the things that I feel like I'm the guy at Sideways that always annoys me about wine tasting is they give you these little pours. Bleep, 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 bleep. Please, sir, may I have some more? Bleep, 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 bleep. And they don't do that.
It's just a tasting, though.
I know.
It's not a serving.
Give me a mouthful for the love of God. So they did it. And here's what was interesting. So it's a really neat place. As a matter of fact, it's both a French bistro and a wine shop. Here's a photo of the wine shop part of the place. And it's
and
sizable.
And there's a lot, right?
Yeah,
there's
sizable.
A lot. And what I like is it's you know, it's kind of in a location where, you know, it's far enough from like Total Wine and, you know, different places. So they probably get their own little, you know, business coming in there. And then they had a pretty decent selection. And
huge
not only
selection.
Can you just buy sort of off, you know, out of the box there, off the rack or whatever you call it, but they had a large refrigerated section too.
Right.
So if you needed, if you're going to someone's house for dinner, you could actually bring a bottle that's already chilled.
Yeah.
So I like that too about that place.
So I guess that we're probably not.
And it's quaint.
Actually, my Uncle Jim had a great term for it. He used to be in the beer and wine distribution business, and he called people who are wine snobs cork dorks.
We're not quite cork dorks.
So I don't think we're even close to being.
But
cork
we're service dorks. I mean,
we do
want a certain amount of service.
Right. And so we went through these different wines, and they created a wine tasting list, like so, and you know, they give you some descriptions of the wines there. And so we had a chance to drink 1, 2, 3, 4 of them. As a matter of fact, again, I think it's a miss. The 4th and 5th wine they served, we got the last sips of it. Now, we got there at, I'm thinking, noon or 1-ish.
Yeah, we got there at noon. What time did it start? 11?
It starts at 11, ends at 2. We got there a third of the way in. They ran out of the first wine. They ran out of the 4th and 5th wine after we had our sips. That's just a miss, in my opinion. Again, so who's paying for it? If you can't afford it, don't put them on the list. If the wineries are paying for it, tell them we're pouring them until we're done. You know, and at the end, if you've got.
We don't know who's paying for it.
I don't know. I'm just saying.
I like the idea, though, didn't you? I mean, the wine tasting.
The idea is great. But this is what they did is they overpromised, underdelivered.
Well, I think that's right. I agree with you.
And it's a miss to do that anyway. So we had their wines, and they had a Pinot Noir and a Shiraz and a Cab and all kinds of good stuff. And the funny thing was, we tasted them, and these wines were going for, well, one's 34, one was 16, 39, $63. What did you think of them? None of them really jumped out at me as being like, wow, these are great wines.
You are pretty particular about wine. You really like buttery Chardonnays, and that's pretty much it when it comes to white wine. Or you like certain cabs or certain Zinfandels or certain Malbecs, only spicy. Other than that, you don't really like many wines. Like, you're kind of picky.
Yeah, I like oaky, buttery.
But you're very picky, and you're very specific.
Yeah, I want them to be chewy,
I like
spicy.
A lot of different kinds of wines.
So did any of those really jump out for the price?
So I really liked the Ferrari Carano blend because it has a lot of the ones that I love. Like, I love the Cab and Malbec, Merlot. It was a really cool blend. And the one thing that I can say about all these wines, a lot of times, I don't know the wine terms. I mean, clearly I'm not a cork dork, but, they leave that in your throat.
Maybe.
These were, I felt, very smooth. So which I like. I don't like a lot of that.
Yeah.
Tannin.
It was interesting, though, because later that was Saturday. On Sunday, we ended up going to...
They say moderately tannic.
Yeah. We ended up going to... What's that place we went to? With Jim and Judy and Mom?
Maggiano's.
We had their cheapest Chianti wine, and we thought it was amazing. So maybe we just don't have sophisticated palates, but it was chewy, and it was. I just really liked it.
Well, you like a very... That's what I'm saying. You like a very specific wine. I can almost tell when you're going to really like something.
Right.
Like if I said, oh, we're going to have a Shiraz for dinner, you'd be like, what?
Maybe. But so the wine tasting was a little disappointing because they ran out of wine. They almost ran out of wine before we got finished. I think the pours were a little small. And the wine just wasn't great. But we also...
What do you have to say that's positive?
Well, we had lunch there.
I mean, about the wine tasting.
That they're having it? I like the idea. I think it's a good idea. But, you have to... Under-promise, over-deliver. Well, let's
just discuss.
Okay,
a very steady stream of people coming in and doing tasting, so I thought that was great. There area where they had it, there was probably at least eight people there when we got there.
There was.
And then as we were going to have dinner, I think there were four more people came in.
Yeah, they had a nice steady stream.
They had a really good steady stream. They could really make that something fun.
They could. They absolutely could. And I think they're trying to do so as well.
I almost wonder, though, if they should do that, set up an area in a different part of the thing so there's a bit more room.
Yeah, because we bumped into that, too.
Maybe more in the indoor dining area. Or I don't know. Maybe they have another area to do that in. But that would have been nice,
Yeah, I agree. So then we decided, well, let's have lunch here. It was lunchtime. So we went down. Now, were they're location, location, location. I showed you the map. It's right on the water in the Desert Shores area. And the area they have an indoor eating place, but they also have an outdoor place. Now, in the winter, they have these plastic, windows that come over. But the view, we got a shot of the view. It's very, very nice out there.
Very serene and really pretty.
Right, that's the view out from our table. They sat us in a really nice place right
on
the water.
Look at that water. It looks like glass.
Yeah, it's a great location. And now it comes into the service place. So the waiter, outstanding waiter, fun. I like waiters who know their stuff. Mm-hmm. You can tell he knows his stuff, but at the same time, he's a wink and a nod kind of guy. So, for instance, we both had the same thing. We had the French onion soup along with a turkey panini. And, he asked, do you want the left side or the right side of the panini? It's that kind of stuff.
He was fun.
And by the way, the wine we had...
Not snotty. No. Some people, when they think of French restaurants and French food, they think, that it's going to be a stuffy... snotty environment. And this place definitely isn't that.
No, for sure.
Very warm, friendly. The owner is warm and friendly. The wait staff was warm and friendly.
Yes. And the wine we had for lunch, I thought, was very good. And I forgot what that was.
The wine we had for lunch was very good.
It was very good. So
what was that? I think we had...
totally forgot.
We had a cab, I think.
I totally forgot.
It a Malbec?
It was a Malbec, because that's what you like. And so we had the French onion soup, and we had the turkey panini. And you know, that's probably not a fair assessment of their cuisine thing. And I don't have a sophisticated palate.
We were trying to do diet.
We're tracking our numbers, basically.
Because, okay, let's just tell them what happened when we walked up to the building.
What happened?
We're in the parking lot, and I'm like, oh, my God, do you smell that?
What we should have got.
What we wish we could have had
was this burger that looked like Jesus touched a hand on it. I think we smelled it coming in there. The description was fascinating. We're like, oh, do we want this? And we're looking at our Lose It app. I'm like,
I'm like, we could split a hamburger. We should have split that hamburger, because half a hamburger would not have been that bad. But oh my God, it smelled out of this world, what they were cooking.
Yeah, it was good.
Sauteed onions, and we could smell it in the parking lot when we were walking up. So if you're a burger person.
I think it's going to be
good.
Oh,
and okay, so you know, we were having food envy because we were looking at other people's food.
Yes.
We try to keep it, you know, light, just because we're on this
diet thing.
I don't like to say diet. I don't really, we need to change our life. Because we're not really limiting ourselves. We're just trying to make better choices.
Right.
So, the people next to us had that big cone of those French fries.
Looked good. Smelled good.
I just really wanted to run over and say, oh, sorry, can I have just a couple fries?
You should have.
Can I just have two fries, ladies?
We could have put them on the show. They could have been guests with Sally and Cheryl.
It was funny because, you know, they must have been on a diet too. They both had salads with a side of French fries.
Is that right? That's crazy.
That does not sound like a chick thing to do.
It does. And we have a shot internally of the place too. This is their outdoor patio place. Oh, he's a handsome young man. Look at that guy. Look at that. Right, and it was yes, the heat lamps made it that way. And you can see it's, you know, very well appointed inside. And again, so we like the place. I think they could make the wine tasting better. I really think they should.
What'd you think of the food though?
Well, I don't think. Well, that's good.
It wasn't overly fancy, right?
It was
simple.
The truth is, I don't think that's a fair representation of what they're probably known for. French onion soup. I mean, it was good French onion soup.
I thought it was yummy.
Okay, and the turkey panini.
It was plain, but we wanted it plain because.
Yeah, I don't know. It was great. I didn't think. I mean, I thought it was good. But
didn't you think it was packed out there? There were a lot of people there.
When we went out there, it was probably 70% full. When we came out of there, every table was filled on the way out of the outdoor place.
Yeah, everybody was really sitting out on the patio. But I was surprised it was so busy on a Saturday.
It is clearly a locals place. And that area there is a pretty nice area. So the locals there clearly know about it.
And a good follow. I mean, I think there are a lot of people that do go there regularly.
The foodies love it. Like I said, Mancini loves it.
I really want to go share a hamburger.
Yeah, not going to happen.
Yeah, the food critics love it, but you gotta imagine. You know what? We should read Al's book and see what he recommends to have.
I should.
And then
that's good.
I bet you he talks about that hamburger.
I bet he does. And so it's a good place to go. Actually, as a matter of fact, if you're a tourist and you're coming here and you're going to be here for a while and you want to get off the beaten path a little bit, I'd go. I'd check it out. But if you see them on their wine tasting, tell them to open another bottle because it's the right thing to do. Would you agree? Of course you would, because you're loving.
I think that it might have been good to substitute if they had run out.
Open another bottle.
May have had a limited quantity or something. I mean, there could be a really good reason why they didn't. We should have asked them.
Yeah, well, there you go. All right, so that's it. Go check them out. Again, their website is...
Wait, can I say one more thing?
Here.
Good date place.
Marche Bacchus. Oh, I think you're right.
Awesome date place. I mean, seriously, especially I bet you that place is so beautiful at night. We've never been there at night. We should do that. But you know how when you first start dating, you know... sometimes you want to do like a lunch date.
Yeah.
Perfect, perfect place for a date.
Right.
And I'm sure it's beautiful at nighttime too, and wonderful, but really a great date place. And great if you want to bring out town guests and, you know, you don't want to go down to, you want to take them someplace nice, but you don't want to go to the Strip.
Go.
This is another one of those sort of local gym, like Vintner Grill, et cetera.
So. Right, right. Oh, good point. All right, so we're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to talk a little bit about what's going on here in the real estate world and give you some of our feedback about how it's compared to what we went through back in 2003. You're watching The Living in Las Vegas. We'll be right back.
Traditional media believes that after about 3 minutes, you'll tune out. Most Vegas media companies think if it doesn't jiggle, you won't tune in. At the Vegas Video Network, we think both are wrong. The Vegas Video Network is the first and only live online broadcast network that specializes in insider news and expert views about Vegas. We combine great storytelling with the ability to watch when and where you want on your computer, mobile device, or television. Discover the real Las Vegas. Visit VegasVideoNetwork.com.
So when I said we're going to talk about real estate, what I really meant was we're going to talk about hair color. Actually, Ray in the live chat asked if Melissa has a recommendation for a colorist. So do you have a recommendation? Yes, she had her hair colored and cut, and it looks sassy.
It's a little flat today.
It's sassy. Who's your colorist? Real quick, who's your colorist?
I go to a woman named Charlie.
Oh.
And she's a senior stylist. She has been cutting hair a long, long time. She cuts my hair and colors it. She's Charlie at Another Wild Hair, which is on Summerlin and Parkway and Buffalo. So she is fantastic. She's crazy kooky, but does a great job on my color and my cut. I really enjoy going there, but just know what you're getting yourself into.
She's crazy. So let's talk a little
She's
bit
fabulous.
About...
She's fabulous. So I've been going to her for years.
Yeah. So a little bit of talk about real estate. There's been a couple articles in the paper here that talked about it, and it kind of reminded me of what we went through when we first moved here and the changes that have occurred since then. And probably the most common question we get are people who are thinking about moving here and ask a lot of real estate questions, recommendations, places to live, what to expect, pricing, that kind of stuff, neighborhoods,
blah, blah, blah. School
exactly.
District.
We had a show last week with Bridget. Bridget does a show on our network called Getting Real Estate in Vegas. And here's the webpage on the Vegas Video Network. And she did a really interesting show on her thoughts about short sales. For this year, and that she basically said that 2012 is the year of short sales. They're going to be coming up again. They're going to be more than they were before. It was trending down. We check short sales every week on that show, and they are trending down towards the end of the year, and now they're going back up again.
Why does she think that is?
Well, I'm going to tell you why. So in her show, she talked about the reason behind that, and here are some of the reasons that she mentioned in her show. By the way, if you're at all interested in real estate here, you just simply have to check out her show. She is sharp. She knows her content cold, and it's informative. I mean, they're not long shows. They're 15, 20 minutes or so, but she gets to it, and she really knows her stuff. It's pretty fun to watch. Anyways, here's why she believes this is the year of the short sale. First, 65% of the homes here in Las Vegas are currently underwater. In other words, two out of three homes here are underwater, which is not a feature. Inventories are causing these kinds of issues now. There's pressure on the banks to get rid of these homes, get them off their books. And an interesting IRS rule change. Currently, if you short sell your house, the difference from what you owe to what you're going to sell the house, this number here, call it $20,000, $80,000, whatever it is, right now it's written off. You don't have to worry about it. It's basically a gift. Come January 1st, 2013, the IRS is going to tax you on that difference.
Whoa, how are people going to be able to pay that?
Well, it's problem. It's a challenge. So if you
it's
going to happen.
How are people going to be able to pay it?
Well,
I mean, they can't.
I don't know.
Usually, a house is being short sold because people don't have enough money to pay their mortgage.
Right.
I'm pretty sure they're not going to have enough money to pay a tax bill.
I heard it, and it's interesting because.
You know what I'm saying? Don't you agree?
I do, but it doesn't matter.
I don't think it'll happen.
Well, we'll see. But it's happening. And as a result of that concern, people are going to rush to short sale this year so they don't have to bet whether, say, Congress extends it another year or whatever. And, you know, this is interesting. Most people here in Las Vegas either are somebody who's either been foreclosed or had a short sale or know somebody who's been foreclosed or had a short sale. I know three people who have all had short sales or foreclosures. And these are just regular folks like you and me who this is happening to. As a matter of fact, a friend of mine I was talking to, you know, this is probably not a surprising number. When he bought his house, this was a townhome actually, he paid $260,000 for it. At the peak, it was worth $310,000. It started to drop. He ended up selling it for $85,000.
Oh my God.
And it took him 9 months to sell it. 9 months.
Well, it wouldn't take you that long to sell it now. I mean, people are having troubles getting condos because
townhomes.
They're so cheap that investors are coming in paying cash.
Yeah, and so yeah,
people can't get them.
And we'll talk a little bit about that. So our story, when we moved here, we bought our home in 2003, October of 2003. And the reason why we moved is we lived in California, and the house we ended up buying was 40% of the cost, and yet 60% larger. It was an easy decision for us. Both of our kids were out of high school. They were going to college. We really didn't need to live in California more. You know, the houses were very expensive there. The work there was pretty high stress. And so we thought, let's move to Las Vegas. It made sense. So we got this big house with a pool, and it was 40% of the house and 60% larger than the house we had in California. It was an easy call. So we bought in October of 2003. We took possession in April of 2004, and we moved in August of 2005. So now you're looking at what's going on, and a couple articles came out that really changed the way things are happening. I mean, this has been the foreclosure capital of the country, and it's been and the unemployment capital of the country, which obviously relate. But the first article that I thought was interesting is new home sales. What's happening here in new homes? So we bought a new home, and we've never experienced that before. It was kind of fun, picking out the flooring.
Would you do it again?
Well, I think so. I would. Yeah, sure. I would definitely do it again in the right circumstance. Would you? Wouldn't you?
I don't know.
I thought it was fun.
It was fun, but I definitely would have done things a little differently. You know, I would have done with as far as the house.
Oh yeah, for sure. So, article in the Review Journal: Las Vegas new home sales tumbled to a 23-year low. 23 years. So a couple interesting things here. First, in 2011, last year, they sold 3,894 new homes. Now, does that sound
like
a lot?
That seems like a lot.
It does seem like a lot. So I read that. I'm like, 3,894, that seems pretty good. Well, not when you compare it to, let's say, 1998, when they sold 20,000 new homes. But wait, there's more. In 2005, that was the year we moved here, they sold 39,000 new homes in 1 year.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
That is insane.
And we were in the middle of that. And if you think about it, do you remember all the construction? There was construction everywhere.
Well, there was, and I got a lot of flat tires from all the nails.
Yeah, that's right, because there are nails in the ground,
remember
right?
Remember how many flat tires I got? Because I have to commute to work.
So literally, that's a 10x change. It went from 3,894, about 3,900, from 39,000 in 2005. Huge
number. That explains why everybody was getting into real estate.
Right, right. You, as a matter of fact, got into real estate for a little while, right? You realized you didn't like people who didn't show up, and you said, hell with them.
Yeah, I like being treated not well, so.
Right. And so according to the experts, they think that in 2013, it might go up as high as 4,200 homes.
Oh.
Which means we are so off what it used to be. It's not even close.
Well, but maybe that's good too, right? I mean, the city, you know, shouldn't grow more than jobs available. Growing. You know what I mean? Infrastructure and things like that. So
right. And it's interesting, you know, they're saying that, you know, it's all keyed to resale price and home equity. We're going to talk a little bit about that. But as I said, pretty much everybody's underwater.
But those numbers are staggering.
Though. Yeah, it's unbelievable. So the people who are going to be buying new homes, who were they? Well, a lot of them are people who are moving on up, taking the next step, buying the next house. Can't do it anymore if you already live here. Because your house is underwater. You can't sell it, take that extra money and put it into a new house. Now, you absolutely can do this if you live out of state and you're in a place where your real estate has been okay. Northern California, I don't think Southern California, some other places. But I just find it fascinating this is going on. And the median price for new homes, brand new homes in December is $121,250.
Whoa, that's crazy.
So you can buy a brand new home, brand new. No one's been lived in. It has that new car smell for $121,000. I just think that's stunning.
I suspect builders are changing, though, too, you know, that the homes probably, the new homes they're building, I bet are not as big on
probably,
average.
Probably true.
So there are probably some other, I think the lot size is probably maybe not as big. You know, I think that they...
you're probably right, though.
They've adjusted some things, but, you know, it's still a big difference.
Nonetheless, you could buy a house for $120,000.
Yeah.
When we bought a house, there were lot fees that were approaching that kind of goofy. I mean, there was this crazy... I mean, lot fees. Do you want
you
that corner lot?
A premium lot fee could be $20,000 to
$60,000. Yeah, yeah. You want a premium lot, half the price of a new house today, just for that square piece of dirt right there. Now compare 38,000 or 3,800 or so, 3,900 new homes sold last year versus resale homes in 2011, 48,822.
Resale homes?
Resale homes. What did I say?
I'm just confirming that I heard you right.
Yeah, 48,800 sales of existing homes, which is the fourth highest ever.
That's because people are buying all the foreclosures and short sales.
That's exactly right. And the median price for a resale home, $110,000. It's just stunning that you can buy a house for $110,000. Now, you know, we come from California where that number is...
You wouldn't even get a studio.
Yeah, it's just crazy numbers. But you know, I think at one point resale homes here... You remember what they were? It was probably
high twos,
probably 270, 280, might even been.
Which is still cheap compared to the Bay Area.
I think it might have approached $300,000 at one point.
Yeah.
It was really high in 2000. Well, I think it was 2005 or so. But what was interesting is that of those resale homes in 2011, three quarters, 75%, were distressed sales. So foreclosure or short sales. And the majority of those homes were vacant. If you are ever thinking about moving to Las Vegas, you should think about doing it now. The idea of being able to pick a house for $110,000 is a belief. And if you want a bigger house, you're looking at maybe $200,000. I don't know. But
yeah,
it's a half price deal.
For three.
It's a half price deal right now. I mean, we're literally saying what were $1 million houses that are costing less than $500,000. Jacob?
Just to add a little bit to that point, Sal and I bought not too long ago.
Right, right.
And some of those lot fees still can be $100,000 or
Seriously?
So, depending upon the area. This area was out at Lake Las Vegas, and they were charging $100,000 lot premium.
Today? Now?
Several months ago, not that long ago.
When they were looking.
For a strip view from Lake Las
Vegas.
Really? Yep.
That's still expensive, though. That's just a lot for a strip view. I mean, don't you think that's still a lot of money?
It was cost prohibitive when you think the house that they were trying to sell on that lot was still only $165,000.
Oh, seriously?
So you're almost paying the house price for the lot.
That's nuts. And, you know, I'm looking at the live chat. Doug is saying they're thinking about picking up a condo for cash this summer. And, you know, and Ray has said you could pick up a $1 million house here for $400,000. Absolutely no question about it. So, you know, it's interesting to see what's happening to the environment that we were in. We were in the new house. We didn't want anything to do with anything else but a new house. We were excited about it. You know, we had some fun doing that. And now that business is, in essence, dead.
I mean, if I'll tell you, if I had $70,000 laying around the house, you know, that, you know, wasn't focused on anything, wouldn't you go buy one?
Yes, for sure. For sure. Because you think about
buy it, rent it out.
Right, because the rental business here right now has gone up. Makes sense. People are leaving their houses that they bought, but they still want to live here if they can, and so they're renting.
Well, you know what's interesting is a friend of ours was looking at a rental, and they were looking at a 3-bedroom rental with a 1-car garage for $850. That's cheap.
Yeah, nuts. It's nuts. It's just nuts. I mean, we're seeing rentals in our neighborhood for less than what we're paying for our mortgage. So it's just a crazy time.
$12.50. Right?
Yeah. And then the other article I saw was price tumbles for high-rise condos. And this got my attention because, you know, we visited a bunch of high-rise condos early in the life of the Living in Las Vegas show here. And one of the places that we visited was Newport Lofts, which is in downtown. And we really liked it. We thought it was a neat place. The location was good. Great strip views on one side. Fun valley views on the other.
Well, they're doing all that downtown redevelopment, too.
Right.
The Smith Center's close by.
Right, exactly. And we're like, this is pretty cool. Now, when we went there, and I forget when we did the show. It was a couple years ago, I think. Their starting price, this was for a 900 and some odd square foot loft, which is just a big rectangle. Was $350,000, and it went up to $1 million depending on where, you know, the floor you're on and the size of your place. So $350,000 to $1 million. I remember when I started the Vegas Video Network, one of the ideas I had was maybe buying one of these lofts and maybe putting the company in there. Come to find out, I wasn't allowed to do that. You couldn't run a business out of there. But I was sniffing around. I forget how long it was between the 350 number and when I started looking, but I remember looking at it one day. I actually checked their website, and they were selling them still. The builder was selling them for now $199. So it went from $350 to $199. Okay, I'm like, okay. I went to talk about it the next week on this show, and it dropped $10,000 in a week. It has since gone down since then. I'm going to give you some numbers in a minute, but so this article talked about that high-rise condos being snapped up mostly by investors. Yeah, so it's happening again. What's interesting is this happened when we were here. Just before we got here, actually in our neighborhood, one guy bought 4 houses. Bip, 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 bip. Because still, you know, compared to some, you know, some areas in the United States, we were selling them for nothing.
Right.
You know, our neighborhood increased in value quite a bit before it all blew up. Our house actually increased in value at $100,000 in about 6 months, which I knew was fake money. It wasn't going to happen. But it was that kind of thing. So we're seeing a lot of investors, and they're doing about half the price asked. So they're, you know, paying half of what people are asking for right now.
So if it was, what does it say in there what the average price is for a high-rise?
And this is what's really interesting. So remember when we started, 1,000 square feet, about $350,000. That's $350 a square foot. High-rise condos are now selling for less than 200 square feet, $200 a square foot, compared to the $300 to $400 a square foot at the high of the market. So some numbers here, interesting numbers. 1,300 or so transactions in 2001. 60%, almost two-thirds of those deals were investors who did all cash transactions. As a matter of fact, Bridget has said many times on her show that if you're looking to buy a condo, you know, most of these things are less than $100,000. If you don't bring all cash in, you're not going to get the deal.
Yeah, you're going to lose out to someone who does.
Right, and there's not a bank out there right now who's willing to finance a $60,000, $70,000, $80,000, $90,000, $100,000 home. Just It's not going to happen.
Well, does it give us the average price?
Yeah, let me see here. It does on a condo by condo thing. I'll get to that in a second. So interesting. City Center is mentioned in this article. Currently,
well, they have the Vidara, which is a
that's
condo.
Right. That's right. So there's currently about 5,900 units available.
At Vidara?
No, no. In all of Las Vegas.
Okay.
5,900 units available. Does that sound like a lot to you?
Yes.
It does to me, too. Later in this article, it says that that's not very many. It's a problem. I thought it was kind of odd.
That's a problem?
Yeah, that's what they said.
We don't have that many developments.
But what's interesting, they said that there's 2,800 or so of these that were condo hotel units.
Okay, that'd be like Vidara.
That's right. You know, like Signature.
And, yeah.
Yeah, Signature, Vidara, those kind of places. Only 14 units sold in City Center in 2011.
Whoa.
14. Can you believe that? That to me is a stunningly low number.
That's interesting.
It's crazy. As a matter of fact, MGM Resort has opted to rent out many of these places, and they're may consider being more aggressive with their marketing and discounting the prices, which is natural. But then it says that it's a pure lack of inventory. So, you know, these people are snapping them up to the point, and I really didn't understand that point.
If it's lack of inventory, why are they only selling them?
Look at
14.
Look at the banks and the robo signing. Banks are being more cautious and tightening up a little bit. So I think what's happening is for the ones that the level of pricing meets a bank's normal criteria for financing. If it was a house, for example, it sounds like maybe the banks are still saying, "We're not going to get involved with this."
Yeah, but usually it's all cash transactions, so the banks aren't involved.
Well, if it's a cash, I don't think it's a problem, but I think they're implying that people are trying because the pricing, it's a little bit above the comfort level for a cash deal. Banks are saying, we're not going to do that deal. And they're basically saying it's going to be 8 or 9 years before we see another high-rise build in Las Vegas. I bet it's longer than that, quite frankly. But what was, I thought, interesting was looking at some of the properties. So they gave numbers, the number of sales for these properties, and the average square foot pricing, which is fascinating.
Well, are you going to tell me? I'm dying to.
Yes, I am. So Allure, which is on the corner of Las Vegas Boulevard and Sahara, just by the network here, average sale was, they sold 149 units.
Wow.
Seems pretty good.
In 1 year?
I think, you know what? It doesn't say, hold on. I'm assuming so.
Oh.
Oh, I don't know if it's 1 year. That's a good question. Average square foot price, $185,000. So $185,000 for 1,000 square foot. Panorama Towers. Now, I know somebody who owns
property. There's three of those. There's three Panorama Towers.
Oh, I've seen. Mm-hmm. What's the ones that are across the street on the 15? Isn't that Panorama Towers?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, isn't that Panorama Towers? There's three of them.
Mm-hmm. I thought that was two of them.
There's three. Okay.
So Panorama Towers. I know somebody who bought a distressed property there. I know somebody else who had to sell because he couldn't afford it anymore. 146 sales, $163,000 a square foot. $163 a square foot. That's got to be less than 50% of before prices. Turnberry Place, Turnberry Tower.
So there's Turnberry Place and there's Turnberry Tower.
Right. Now, these are the fancy smancy places. This is really nice living.
One's fancier than the other.
Yes.
One has that club in it.
And Turnberry Tower is the fancier of the two.
That's the one that has that, what's that thing called? The restaurant?
Oh, the Sterling Club.
Yeah. So Turnberry Tower has the Sterling Club?
Yes.
Okay.
Pretty sure. 73 sold, $239 a square foot.
That makes sense.
Unbelievable. Whereas Turnberry Place, 80 sold, $186,000. And then the final one I'll do two more. Newport Loft. This is the one that I was mostly interested in. 26 sales last year, I think. $119,000. $119,000 for 1,000 square foot. $119 per square foot.
Do they have that one that's
stunning?
Do they have the one that's down there by Fremont East, where a lot of the Zappos people are?
Is that Soho?
No.
Sky Las Vegas, the Martin Soho, Park Towers. I don't know.
Let me see.
Hold on. Queensbridge Place, I want to say, this is the super fancy schmancy.
Yeah.
Alpha
Very
Rampart.
Baroque.
Super
looking.
Fancy. We look at it, we think it's the
in
Batman.
Summerlin.
It's the Batman.
Summerlin, I mean.
They're gorgeous, beautiful. 16 sales, $308 a square foot.
Now, the thing that they're also not discussing there is what the monthly fees are. Because the monthly fees on a high rise are really, really expensive. Because
And as a matter of fact, I see Ray mentioned something that
I
skipped, which is very impressive. Good stuff here, Ray. And that is, so people are selling these for as little as $175 a square foot on short sales and foreclosures compared to the hard construction costs of $325 a foot. In other words, it costs $325 a square foot to build these things. You factor in costs for land, permits, development costs, price could be up to $450 a square foot. And they're selling them for as low as $119. It's stunning.
It's interesting.
They're getting their ass handed to them is what's happening. So for those of us
it's
who...
It's interesting. Yeah. Well, I was driving home from the airport, and I was on Paradise. And I noticed, I think it's on the right-hand side, there was a big sign about come check out Turnberry prices. Come check out Turnberry. Our prices start as low as, and I remember being shocked at the number and thinking, did I read that right? And I thought it was like 140 some or 150.
At Turnberry.
Oh. So it says it was like prices start as low as or something like that. And I just remember thinking, wow, that is crazy, right?
Yeah. If we were not living in Las Vegas, we're going to wrap up here in a second here, but if we were not living in Las Vegas and we were looking into this, if we could get a job here, we'd be here in New York a second. I like being here. Clearly, it's still hard to find a job here. I mean, we still are unemployment tied. I've watched people on Facebook basically air their issues of finding a job. And so it's still rough,
yeah,
for sure.
For sure.
If you can, but there are still places that are hiring and doing that if you have the right kind of skill set. I mean, Melissa is aware of that, and we're seeing that. And so this is a pretty cool place to live. I'm going to just, you know, my Chamber of Commerce hat on for a minute, and as we really do like living here. You do have to have a job. And if you don't have a job, we've seen it where it's been difficult for folks to survive here for very long without it. And living unemployment insurance is not an easy way to live. But if you can afford living here, I mean, if you can afford being here, if you can get a job and get a house, I'll tell you what, man, it's a fire sale. And there are some beautiful homes for sale. I mean, stunning, beautiful. You know, one of my hobbies when I'm just trying to decompress is I'll go on Craigslist, and I have a criteria that I look for homes just to see what's out there. And, I mean, you know, my criteria is a pool and a casita, and preferably one story. There are some amazing houses right now that meet that criteria that are selling for, you know, 50 cents on a dollar. It's just amazing. So if you're interested in doing that, this is the time to go. One thing I will say, Bridget mentioned that she believes this is the year that will probably bottom out from a resale perspective. But the truth is, and I've talked to other people who I think have some good insight, these housing prices will never recover. 30 years, just not going to happen. So this is the time to get at it. And if you do move here, we hope that you come and check us out and say hi. That's what we hope.
Really interesting info, though, on the housing market. Those stats were really cool.
Yeah. So thanks to the Review Journal for those information. Please don't sue us for mentioning that we used you guys. Anyways, that's it. That's it for the show. Again, if you want to reach out to us several ways, email onairq@livinginlv.com. If you want to be a friend with us, either have your photo on our website or be adopted like Stuart here, friends@livinginlv.com. And of course, our toll-free number is 866-966-4599. And Twitter is VegasVideo, NTWRK.nothing. I don't even know why I said .com. That's it. Anything else you want to say, honey?
No, that's it. We'll see you.
See you next time. Again, can't wait for Cheryl and Sally to take over the big show. This could be Vegas Video Network, Living in Las Vegas 3.0 with Sally and Cheryl. I'll tell you, everybody, take care. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Ticket.